answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
It's just a pile of incompetence on top of incompetence, on top of sloppiness, on top of irresponsibility. To use Biden's word when he was so happy to be throwing rocks at Donald Trump and saying how irresponsible it is, it's a little bit amazing that it seems every day they find more and more and more classified documents. It makes you wonder where it's coming next. And the latest development you were just talking about, that some of these documents are from his Senate tenure. I've been in the Senate 10 years. 100% of the classified documents I have ever read have been in the skiff in the basement of the Capitol, as you were just noting a minute ago. You check in your phone, you check in your AirPods, you check in your Fitbit, you go in with no electronics. You read them in the room and you leave the documents there. I don't know how the hell he got them out of there. I mean, it's Sandy Berger during the Clinton administration famously stuck classified documents in his underwear. I don't know if Biden did that or what happened, but it raises serious questions, and it calls for a whole lot more investigation.
I love that soundbite. That's Senator Ted Cruz responding to the Biden files, and more we find out. This is January 24, 2023. I should note for you immediately, documents have been found at Vice President Pence's Indiana home. He'd sent his attorney saying, out of abundance of caution, let's take a look at my place. And they did. You heard Cruz say, what did he do? Was Biden slipping them out of the skiff? Now, the skiff is a sensitive compartmented information facility. As he said, you go in, you see them. You're not allowed to take any electronics in. You go in and look at them. You can't take anything with them out with you unless you stuff them down your underwear. Now, that's not just a joke when he mentioned Sandy Berger. For those of you not familiar with that story, very quickly, Sandy Berger in October 2003 was the White House National Security Advisor under Bill Clinton. And he took details of how the Clinton administration had responded to the threat of terrorist attacks at the end of 1999. He took a total of 5 copies of the same document. He got accused of taking the documents. Berger told investigators originally, no, I didn't do it. And they said, oh, I did, but my mistake. And they said, well, I did. But then I tried to find a trash collector to get rid of them, but no luck. And then he admitted, I did take them deliberately, and I stuffed them in my suit on multiple occasions. And then later actually said, I stuck some down in my underwear. Yeah, that's what Cruz was referring to, how you would get documents out of the skiff. Well, with the find of the documents now at Pence's Indiana home, and we don't know what they actually involve, we've got several people at high levels that are mishandling classified intel information. How highly classified doesn't make any difference. If it's classified, it's not supposed to be randomly tossed and carried around. But Cruz says, in particular, there's an interest in the documents originally found at the UPenn Center for Biden.
One of the next steps, we know that the University of Delaware has 1,850 boxes of documents from Biden's Senate tenure, given now the incredibly sloppy and careless keeping of classified documents. I believe the FBI and the Department of Justice should review those 1,850 boxes of documents at the University of Delaware. Delaware has said they're not going to make any of those publicly available until 2 years after Biden leaves office. I think given the potential criminal violation, that needs to be examined right now.
And that's an important point. We need to know what's in those documents right now, because of all the connections between Hunter Biden, China, and Papa Joe. In fact, Senator Cruz says, what exactly are in those documents?
There are other documents that implicate sources and methods, that endanger the lives of U.S. covert operatives, that endanger the lives of foreign actors who are working with us. If those are in these categories, it becomes much, much more serious. There's a second category, which is if any of these documents involve Hunter Biden, involve Ukraine and Burisma, involve potential corruption between Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Joe Biden's brother, and either Burisma in Ukraine or the communist Chinese government that paid the Biden family millions of dollars, then this scandal shifts in into an entirely different arena of potentially serious criminal violation.
Criminal violation. Now, of course, when Hillary Clinton and her Secret Server all unveiled, the FBI Director Comey came forward and said, well, yeah, she did mishandle them, but we don't think anyone would bother prosecuting. Why not? First of all, as the FBI, it's not your decision to prosecute or not. But you just flat took it off the table. Senator Cruz says, when you watch how A.G. Garland has been handling this and trying to walk around the edges, well, it's almost funny.
We're seeing right now Merrick Garland eager to send in a raiding party to Mar-a-Lago. I think Merrick Garland is eager to indict Donald Trump. And yet when he held his press conference announcing a special counsel for Joe Biden, I've never seen Merrick Garland looked as dismayed. I joked that he looked like he was recording a hostage video and he was winking, he was blinking SOS. And the real problem it presents for this administration is a political problem in that their plan to indict Donald Trump has now gotten much, much more complicated because the double standard just screams off the face of it.
It does scream off the face of it. And of course, if it were just Trump and now just Pence, they would still be shouting, oh my God, they're so careless and reckless. But it's pretty hard to do when it's Biden himself. Senator Ted Cruz appearing on Fox News discussing the Biden documents. Coming up, John LaBoutier, he is the last Republican to hold the seat held by now Congressman George Santos and the efforts to get rid of Santos. And LaBoutier says the issue is not just for New Yorkers. This is an issue that could have ripple effects of eventually pushing into the 2024 election. So John LaBoutier will join us and get his take on that. And just when you thought, well, okay, we're done with the COVID shots. No. FDA now proposing annual COVID booster shots. That's right. They're not done with you. You might be done with them, but they're not done with you. We got a lot to cover. It's all coming up. Lock and load. Ready. On the right. Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
And we're down, we go, 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 go. And we're down, we go, 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 go. So we're down, we go, 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 go. We're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is John LaBoutier, former U.S. Congressman from the New York area and specific area, which we'll describe in a moment. Also, the author of the book, Harvard Hates America. John has always described himself as a Reaganite. That's when he came into office, not a Trumper. But now he's got another target in sight, and that'd be George Santos, who's been under fire already. And 2 points here. One, you might have thought this George Santos battle and all the furor over it was that's just New York politics. It's just there. It doesn't affect anything else. John's going to explain that, no, it could have ripple effects into 2024 across the nation. And, John, you were the last Republican to represent that same area, or pretty close to it, correct?
That is correct. Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Larry.
Oh, thank you. Happy New Year.
Last year. Yes,
that's right. Good to have you back, sir. So I'm looking at the piece that you wrote here, the opinion piece that you wrote for The Hill, and you said you were the last Republican representing that district, represented by Santos. It's called a different district at that time, right? But you point out that Santos is so politically radioactive that he's endangering Republican chances in November's local elections. But you have one Republican town supervisor saying Santos already being draped around my neck. But you're saying there will be ripple effects.
Oh, there's no doubt. And since I wrote the piece, you know, I had to write it a couple of days ago and it came out today. But yesterday, a new poll by Siena College came out. 71% of New Yorkers want him out. Now, you can't get 71% of people to agree that it's Tuesday.
You're right.
He really is radioactive, you know, and politically radioactive. And that's why I try to paint in this little column the odd thing, which is here in New York in November, we elected six brand new congressmen. And that is the margin that we won the House of Representatives in D.C. by, those six new congressmen who flipped Democratic seats to be Republican. There's the margin that has made Kevin McCarthy the speaker, narrowly. But, yeah, he is the speaker, and Republicans are in the majority. But up here, we want to get rid of them. All the Republican leaders, the state party chairman, county chairman, they all want Santos out right away.
And why?
Because of what I said before, that he's radioactive, he's already infecting the candidates.
Well,
that are running.
What's he done wrong? I mean, I've outlined it for the audience, but from your viewpoint.
All right, so Santos ran as a fraud. I mean, everything he said.
Wait. You know a lot of politicians run as a fraud, but go ahead.
Not like this.
Okay.
No, they don't.
All right.
They don't manufacture a biography where I went to Baruch, I got an MBA from NYU, I did this and that. None of it's true. It's not like, it's bad enough to fib or exaggerate anything. You shouldn't do it. It used to be fatal politically. If you put one thing wrong on your resume, that was the end. Well, this guy, forget a resume. It's his entire biography is a fake. And, you know, he's gay, but suddenly we discover he was married to a woman. I worked on Wall Street. I worked for Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. Well, he didn't work for either one of them for one day. Everything is a lie out of this guy's mouth.
Now, I got to ask you before you continue. We're talking about George Santos, a Republican, and you being a conservative. I hear voices already shouting back, what about Biden? Biden lies all the time, and he lies about things he did or didn't do. What's the difference between that and what Santos has done?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, whataboutism is a disease in this country. Whether Biden lies or not, and he has clearly lied in the past, there's no doubt. But that doesn't make any difference regarding Santos. Every liar needs to be dealt with for their lies.
Yes.
Now, Joe Biden, if you don't like him, if you think he's a liar, vote him out in 2024. Get him out. That's what you think. The thing is, when he got elected in 2020, there's been nothing new about him. Joe Biden's been on the national scene for 50 years. The lies about where he finished and whether he was first in his class, third in his class, last, at Syracuse Law School. That's been out there for 40 years.
And they let it go.
The public, either they don't know or they don't care.
Okay.
But we know where he went to school. We know what he did. He's been a public official for 50 years. That's not George Santos. You and I, as we talk about it, I don't know for sure if George Santos is even his name.
Really?
I don't know that he's an American citizen. I don't know that he's an American. He comes from Brazil, and maybe he has dual citizenship. I do not know where he went to school.
Now,
he said he went to Horace Mann, a private school in the Bronx. Horace Mann says he never went there for one day. So we don't know where he went to high school, college, anything.
Now, those who voted for him, though, they voted for him. And you're right about the most recent poll that just came out. And when you wrote your article, you were referring to another one that said 60% wanted him to resign. Right. And that even 34%
That was of his, that's a,
two
of
weeks
his
ago.
District.
Yeah,
yeah, two weeks ago,
2 weeks
PPP ago. Poll just of his district. 60% wanted him out, but more stuff keeps coming out about Santos. So that poll yesterday, Siena, was statewide, all of New York State, 71%.
Well, what can, first of all, some are going to say, you know, the man got voted in, whether you like him or not, you vote him back out next time, or you've got another ploy you want to try.
Well, they can get him out. If they want him out, if the Republican leadership decides this guy's hurting us, they can throw him out. I mean,
Tell me how that would go down, a duly elected official, how they would throw him off Congress.
Well, they would have it, as McCarthy said, they have an ethics committee investigation of him, which they're doing now, probably. But they quickly come up with a finding that he has broken House rules. He clearly, I could guarantee you, has committed crimes in his financial disclosure forms, which you have to fill out as a candidate and as a congressman. And if you lie on them, they attach the penalty of perjury on there. So
right.
He's already done it. He's already lied about it. We know that. So they could find him guilty, not in a court, but in the ethics committee, and recommend expulsion. Takes two-thirds of the House, which means all the Democrats and 80 Republicans, you add it up, that's two-thirds of the House, and throw them out, expel them.
So you think in this case the Democrats would go along with the Republicans because it might end up affecting control of the House going forward?
No, I don't think. I mean, it's one district, but the Democrats believe they could win that seat in a special election. But my argument in this Hill piece is that, hey, come on, just get rid of the guy. The Republicans get rid of him and make a big deal out of it. You are embarrassed by this man. And you don't want the stench of George Santos on us Republicans. So throw him out and then have a special election. And for 60 days, pour the money in, get a good candidate for Congress who's not George Santos, a solid Republican with a clean resume, and we could win the district. And then there you keep that vote, you keep that congressman, but he's not a problem anymore, or she's not a problem. They're a good new representation of the Republican Party. Well, why can't we win that seat? I want it. It can be won.
But like I said, you were the last Republican to hold that same area. Let me ask your opinion, reference of Biden files and the way that's been handled, not only by Biden, but by the Attorney General's office versus the way the Mar-a-Lago raid was carried out.
Well, and now since you asked me this morning to come on, we now have papers found in Mike Pence's house
yep.
in Indiana.
Yep. I was going to add that, but you beat me
yeah.
to it.
Well, I think, see, to me, Pence is the last guy and Biden, too. These guys are not, they don't break the law. They're not the types of men who've had a career of breaking the law. They don't. They're squares, personally, Biden and Pence, too. And I think they're going to have no trouble, either one of them. I think the trouble is Trump, because he wouldn't give the documents back, and he lied about it. And he lied to the feds repeatedly, saying, I've given them all back, and they're mine anyway. Well, they're not his.
Well, first of all, he has a right to declassify. Whether or not he did, I don't know. But they saw where they were in Mar-a-Lago, in a locked area, and with security cameras. That's not like being in a garage next to your car. So the investigation Merrick Garland said we're going to carry out is find out if Biden mishandled the document. Clearly, they got mishandled.
Right.
You agree?
Oh, there's no doubt. No doubt. Right. But it isn't the mishandling that's the crime. It's the intent of the mishandling, and it's the obstruction of justice. That is, if anything's going to trip anybody up, it's going to be that with Trump.
Didn't do it with
yeah, they
do
were
with
in
Hillary.
A, they
didn't,
were in a.
Didn't do it with Hillary
were,
and her private server and all the clandestine.
No, it didn't because said. They didn't find criminal intent. Wasn't
no. They said well. They said they no one would prosecute it.
Right. Well, they didn't prosecute it. You know,
they didn't put it up for prosecution.
Showed, they chose not to. Right. I remember I watched on July 5th, 2016, yep. Jim Comey's press conference, which yep. never should have happened. The head of the FBI should not be giving a press conference about whether to charge someone or not. But they had no deputy attorney general. And the attorney general, Loretta Lynch, had just met with Bill Clinton
yeah.
on the airplane in the Phoenix airport and felt she had to recuse herself, even though, Larry, they were only talking about golf.
Yeah, kids, grandkids. Yeah, sure, I understand.
Yeah.
Same thing like all the emails that Hillary deleted were only about
yoga.
Grapes and things of that nature, yeah.
Yeah, yoga positions and recipes and wedding dresses.
So in the last 40 seconds or so, what do you think is going to be the ultimate decision on George Santos one way or the other?
Oh, he'll be gone within 2 months.
2 months. Okay, I'll mark that on my yeah. calendar. What is the day? This is January yeah. 24. All right. March yeah. 24. We'll be checking back with you.
It'll be gone before
oh, okay.
then.
Okay. But, all right. Well, yeah. well I like your article. It's a great column in The Hill, folks. You could look it up, and I encourage you to read it in its entirety. John, is always glad to have you on board. It's always an engaging interview, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Happy 2023. I'll talk to you soon.
One more thing before you get away. Yeah. And that is, if you were going to pick someone to replace George Santos, would it be John LaBoutière?
No. It would be a wonderful Republican state senator we have here called Jack Martins, like Martin with an S at the end of it. And I love the guy. I've supported him in the past. I think he could win the seat.
All right. John LaBoutière, former New York congressman, and raising some very big issues about George Santos and what needs to be done. As always, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Bye.
John LaBoutière. And again, he wrote the book, Harvard Hates America. There is a great story about how John Beale Roofing got started. I encourage you to read it at their website, johnbealroofing.com. That 1947 story leads to three generations of the Beale family repairing, replacing roofs on homes and businesses. Read the story at johnbealroofing.com. And when you need roofing help, support my sponsor, John Beale. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. It's hard to find a car you like, but here's an easier way. AckermanToyota.com. In a flash, you're going to see new and pre-owned. You can quickly select which model you want, price, colors, options, get details on financing, lifetime oil changes, lifetime engine warranty. Just click AckermanToyota.com. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So there's a new Rasmussen report claiming that 56% of those responding would rather have a partial government shutdown until Congress can cut spending or keep the spending at the same level. Only 34% said they'd rather see the opposite. They want higher spending levels to avoid a government shutdown. Now, when you look at it based on party, 73% of Republicans and 56% of independent respondents say, no, we'll take the shutdown. Let Congress figure out a way to cut spending. 41% of Democrats felt the same way. Oh, and by the way, 50% of Democrats also preferred to have more spending to avoid a government shutdown. That should be no real surprise, should it? And we continue to haggle over it as I speak. So we have an MSNBC contributor, Jason Johnson, claiming that Kevin McCarthy is leading a terrorist organization. He's talking about Republicans. He said, I just don't really care about Kevin McCarthy and who he has friends with. I could care less, but I think that he's a terrorist sympathizer because he's indicating he's in love, politically, with Marjorie Taylor Greene. He said, I don't care if they're best friends or the top five. I don't care. He said, what bothers me is that any people committing themselves to the violent overthrow of our government are in any way, shape, way, or form normalized by the elected leadership. He said, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, Jim Jordan, and hundreds of others who voted not to verify the 2020 election, that's showing terrorist indications to overthrow the government. You know, he can say that all he wants, but as I've repeated for you several times, we now know because of the Twitter files being released, there was interference in the 2020 election, period. And it came from the Department of Justice and the FBI. When they put word out early about the Hunter laptop Biden story that was going to be surfacing and told the state-controlled media, hey, be aware, there may be another Russian collusion story coming. You do not want to run this story. You don't want to give them additional fuel. So the internet shut down the New York Post story, even publicizing what it had. And no other organizations, state-controlled, would even cover the Hunter Biden laptop. As one NPR exec said, National Public Radio paid with your taxpayer money. Oh, we don't do fiction. We only do facts. And then, of course, 18 months later, after Biden's in office, even the New York Times and others start saying, yeah, that laptop thing, that was real. That was all correct. But by then, of course, Biden's in office. And why did it take so long? Why did they not let it go forward earlier? Because the FBI had the laptop for more than a year before Miranda Devine of the Post put out her article. And why did they want to shut down any information about it in advance of the election? Ah, there you go. You don't have to talk about the election fraud being taken place at the voting ballots or the voting machines or the records. You simply look at how the FBI interfered with information that the American voter should have had. They shut it down. And yet you have MSNBC contributor Jason Johnson saying, the Republican Party is a dime store front for a terrorist organization, and McCarthy has no love for this country. I love the way the left can just kind of come up with this kind of nonsense, and it just slides by. They're not challenged. That's because they're in the environs of a safe environment, like MSNBC. I'd like to have a word or two with Jason. Oh, and out of California, after another mass shooting, CBS News decided to talk to Governor Newsom about the Second Amendment. Now, when you listen to this, you're going to hear Governor Newsom say something that sounds kind of like, the Second Amendment is a suicide pact. Be listening for it, because they're walking and talking, but when you listen, that's what he says.
We found the governor here in Monterey Park, not far from the dance studio where at least 11 were killed.
Nothing about this is surprising. Everything about this is infuriating.
California has the strictest gun laws in the U.S.
I mean, the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact.
But there's many people in this country that support the Second Amendment and our lawful gun owners.
Yeah, I have great respect. I have no ideological opposition to someone reasonably and responsibly owning firearms and getting background checks and being trained.
Huh. That's California Governor Newsom being interviewed, walking on the street near the scene of one of those most recent shootings in California, saying, I have the greatest respect for those who follow the gun laws and handle them safely and properly, but the Second Amendment is becoming a suicide pact, his words. He does not care if you are properly licensed and you have a right under the Second Amendment to have a gun. He's just saying that because he's seen already that maybe we need to change a tactic on fighting to get guns out of the hands of the people. Make no mistake, the way he says it, that he's thinking that, maybe it's okay for fine, decent, honorable, law-abiding citizens to have guns. No, they still don't really believe that. It's all part of a farce. And here's another farce. This was a piece written by a New York Times writer And she is writing about some time she spent in China. She wrote, "Maybe to some people, China's surveillance state is its own kind of freedom. I'm sure plenty of people would like to express disagreement with that, but they've been censored or imprisoned." That's a response to some to what she wrote, because what she said is raising children in communist China with strict censorship laws can provide benefits such as kid-friendly internet, yeah, while mass surveillance offers its own kind of freedom. Again, this is a New York Times piece that boasts of children being co-parented by the authoritarian Chinese government. The essay titled, "China Helped Raise My American Kids and They Turned Out Fine," written by an author, Heather Kay, began by describing how they co-parented with the Chinese government. She said, "When COVID was raging across the world a couple years ago, I came across a picture of a woman online wearing a T-shirt in America. I refused to co-parent with the government." She said, "I laughed out loud. My kids at that time were in a way being co-parented by the Chinese government." She works in the fashion industry, so she was in Shanghai for 16 years, and she says government co-parenting began in the womb in China. She's already subjecting her unborn to dictatorship, communism. She said Chinese citizens have faced limits on how many children they're allowed to have under birth control policies that have since been relaxed. And that is true because they are having a population decrease to an extent that's causing economic hardships for the nation. And she said, "As a foreigner, I was exempt from such rules, but I had to accept that my growing belly had become community property subject to unsolicited rubbing and sidewalk commentary." As saying, it's a boy, I could tell. Bottom line is she goes to China and she gets indoctrinated, and now she thinks it's a good idea for the government, a Chinese communist government, to help parent your children. How does that sound to you?
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, already 2023, and we're getting closer to opening Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, focusing on the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar, with a variety of fish specials. Napoli Sea, right next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. Easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Napoli 3 in St. Charles, Town & Country, and Clayton.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Just when you thought the government was through pushing COVID booster shots up, they are now announcing they want to make coronavirus booster vaccinations an annual event in America. Of course, last year, Biden urged everyone to get coronavirus vaccine boosters, recommending an additional booster shot. But now the latest stats showing that more than 80% of the U.S. population has had at least one vaccine dose. Barely 16% have received the latest booster authorized in August. So they say, you got to get this jab too. When are they going to stop pushing jabs? When we make them? The FDA proposing a simplified approach for future vaccination efforts. This will allow most adults and children to get a once-a-year shot to protect against the mutating virus. So the FDA is asking a panel of outside vaccine experts to weigh in on a meeting later this week on it. But they're already making it clear where they're going with it. They can say we're going to talk about doing it. They've already made it clear where they're going to go. They made it clear that you're going to have to get the first one. And the second one, now you're going to get the boosters. That's their intent. And I ask again, when is it going to stop? It's going to stop when we stand and say, no more. If I need it, I'll make the decision. I'll make the decision about my kids getting it. I don't want to go back to like this parenting in China we were talking about a moment ago and letting the government parent my children. I'll make a decision for my children and my family. And we will stand firm on that point. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.